Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I'm really excited about this week because I'm just back from Israel. This is my third trip in 8 months. And I've been there during the time to watch what's happening in what the press has come to call the Arab Spring. And Jesus led me. He's the head of the church, so he's the one that guides us and leads us. When my husband passed away in 1986, I prayed what to do, and he said, I want you to go to Israel and study Hebrew in the land. And so I've been many, 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 many times since. We take seminar tours. They're wonderful tours. Everyone who goes on them says that they're the best. And of course, we'd have to believe that to have them. But we do look very much at Israel past, Israel present, and Israel future, as the Lord Jesus told us to do. When they asked him for signs of his coming as king, he said to them, watch the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. This is recorded for us in Luke chapter 21. Watch the fig tree, that's Israel, and all the other trees, those are the nations, a Bible prophecy. And having gone there so much, recently has allowed me to keep up with and observe the effects in the Holy Land of many current events in the Middle East and outside the Middle East, even here in America, which have had their effect there in Israel. So I feel we've been really able to obey the Lord Jesus' commandment to watch the fig tree and all the trees for the signs of his coming. Change is happening in the Middle East. Change, even upheaval. There is so much upheaval and change, it has come to be known globally as the Arab Spring. Uprisings of the populaces of Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Syria have deposed some leaders and threatened others. Political change in Lebanon came under the pressure of the governments of Iran and Syria. All these nations of change have important things in common. Number one, they are all hostile neighbors of Israel who oppose the existence of the Jewish state of Israel. Number two, they are all Islamic. Number three, they are all ancient nations about whom the Bible prophets speak. And this is what concerns us. So to obey Jesus, let us watch some of them according to the prophets. It really began in 2011, in January, with Lebanon. Deuteronomy 1:7 says, turn you, take your journey, speaking to the Jews, and go to the Mount of the Amorite, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Well, of course, Euphrates is all the way over in Iraq. So Lebanon and Iraq and Syria and other places are in what the Bible calls Greater Israel. Deuteronomy 11:24, Moses says to the children about to enter the land, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall your coast be. Again, we see Lebanon included in Greater Israel. Zechariah 10:10, I will bring them again. He's talking about when the Jews return to their land. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. In other words, there'll be so many Jews come home that there won't be room for them. Now, some of this information I got from the Wikipedia, the online Wikipedia, and they say that the earliest evidence of civilization in Lebanon dates back thousands of years and predates recorded history. Lebanon was the home of the Phoenicians, a maritime culture that flourished for nearly 2,500 years, from 3000 BC to 539 BC. I remember the Phoenicians from my history classes, and you do too, I'm sure, as sea adventurers and inventors of paper. Back to the encyclopedia. Following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, and that was an empire that lasted 400 years, but following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, and the whole Middle East was, and even up into parts of Europe, were under the auspices, under the reign of the Ottoman Empire, which collapsed in World War I. Following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire after World War I, the five provinces that comprise modern Lebanon were mandated to France. After the Allies defeated the Ottoman Empire, and that empire was in alliance with Germany in World War I, and of course you know the Allies defeated Germany, therefore the Ottoman Empire, which had lasted 400 years, went down, Britain and France divided up the Middle East, sometimes just using a ruler, like we use in our classes in math. They drew borders and divided the lands, which eventually became known by the names that we call those countries today. Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Israel, Jordan. Now all of this is according to Bible prophecy. For the Lord said he would bring back the ancient nations, even for judgment. In Jeremiah 49:39, we read, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord." Elam is Iran. Jeremiah 48:47, "Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. Concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord." Moab and Ammon comprise Jordan. You know, Ammon, Jordan, is even the present day capital. So the Lord tells us here that he's going to bring back certain of these ancient countries, and they're going to be brought back even for judgment. Now, you can survive a judgment. Some of them will, some of them won't. It's all going to depend on how do they treat Israel. But as we're looking at Lebanon, it's one of those ancient countries brought back, and it came to be Lebanon as we know it after World War I, when it fell to the French. Following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, after World War I, the five provinces that comprise modern Lebanon were mandated to France. As we had said, the whole of the Middle East had fallen during the times of the Ottoman Empires under the rule of the Ottomans. When the Jews were sent out of Israel following the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD by the Romans, the entire Middle East fell into desolation and really like a wasteland. Deserts, nomadic tribes. And Mark Twain visited there, the great American writer, in the late 1800s, and he wrote a book called Innocents Abroad, which describes the desolation of the Middle East and especially of Israel. Under the Ottoman Empire, the Middle East was an undeveloped wasteland. Two things woke it up and brought it back to the political attention of the world, even back to the headlines of the world with which we are all so familiar. Those two things which brought the Middle East, which waked it up and brought it back, are number one, World War I and the defeat of the Ottoman Empire, and number two, the discovery of oil. Back to the Wikipedia. The French expanded the borders of Mount Lebanon, which was mostly populated by Maronite Catholics and Druze, to include more Muslims. Lebanon gained independence in 1943 and established a unique political system known as confessionalism, a power-sharing mechanism based on religious communities. The French troops withdrew in 1946. It was quite a government. It was a democracy of sorts. It had a president, and the way it was set up, only a Christian could be president. Now, the Christian Lebanese, they were well-educated, business people, and they set up this government so that only a Christian could be president. There are other sects and peoples of Lebanon, the Druze, the Sunni, the Shia, and other offices were assigned according to their religions. A certain religion could be the prime minister, such and such. Now, what I'm telling you now came from standing at Kibbutz Misgav Am in the extreme northern part of Israel, known as the Finger of Israel. If you'll look on a map, you'll see like a finger of land jutting up into Lebanon and into Syria. And oh, this high ground is oh so important to Israel. We have gone to this kibbutz, which is a security kibbutz. There's all kinds of military, all kinds of security things there, as well as the regular kibbutz life. And we've been going there for 20 years, about every year at least once, usually twice, and standing at this very spot. In fact, now this is not what is known as a good fence. This is a place where one can actually literally stand on the side of a mountain in Israel, and within a stone's throw is the border between Lebanon and Israel. I'm asking that our technical people put up photos of our standing there and that they be posted online. So check billybrim.org to see photos at Misgav Am. That's photos at Misgav Am. Because I want you to see, and I'd like you to do it before tomorrow, so that you can see what I'm talking about when we explain to you what we saw there on our trip, our recent trip, and what we've been observing there, because it's so very important in the light of Bible prophecy. The things I'm talking to you about this week, we're going to be going into detail in a school out at Prayer Mountain. I'm going to be teaching it all myself from Monday through Thursday, August 8th through 11th. And the way we do it, I start teaching at 9 o'clock in the morning and go to noon. And then we break for lunch. And we have a great meal brought out here. And people sit around. And people come from everywhere for this. Though we only can have about 150 people there. They're a broad-based group that come, pastors and ministers and saints of God. And they have a lot of fun sitting around at the noontime having fellowship out here on Prayer Mountain. So that's August 8th through 11th, Monday through Thursday. I will be teaching in a classroom setting on living in the last days in light of Bible prophecy. We will look specifically at what the Bible prophets say about our times. In other words, current events in the light of Bible prophecy. Then we will look at upcoming events in the light of Bible prophecy. This is my favorite teaching setting, but since we can only accommodate about 150, you'll need to call today to get a place in the classroom. We are making the classes available online. However, there will be a fee charge for that, and you will need an access code to take the classes, which you can take at the times that they are given, or you can take on the archives. So this is Billy Brim encouraging you to walk in the light and the love of the Lord. Contact us at 1-800-972-3447 or go on billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.